Hi, this is Julie. Susan and I want to thank you for listening to our shows. Our new show is called Your Presence is Required. We will preview a few episodes in this series and then ask you to just join us in that show. We dive even deeper into our conversation about energy as only we can, and of course, we invite you. Find Your Presence is Required from the red links in our website listed in our bio, from the description in this podcast, and everywhere you listen to podcasts as we unveil it. Your presence is required. That's all. Thank you, and see you there. Your Presence is Required is a conversation by Julie Benetti and Susan Barbaro and a production of EI Alliance, copyright 2020.
So, Julie, I don't speak French or German. I'm learning a little. I know some Spanish and I know a little bit of Italian. Does that mean that, you know?
You better take the French test, and then you ought to say, boy, I did really poorly. I better study more.
And so what would make you think that you didn't do well?
Well, I mean, it should be me. It should be me.
But where I'm getting at is.
She's asking the question and answering it.
No, who has control over your emotion? Because your emotion is what's going to rule. I can tell you, oh, don't worry. But if you're still emotionally attached to that metric, it won't matter. It won't matter. It's whoever rules the emotion, you know, rules the pot of gold.
And who rules the emotion?
Whomever you're giving that power to.
And why are you giving the power to it? Whomever.
So you're talking to me like it's how I'm doing it. Wait a second. I'm making the point.
No, we talked about that.
That right. If you're giving somebody, and it's interesting because I'm reading, I'm reading a million things right now, but I'm reading Marcus Aurelius, some of his meditations, and he talks about who he learned what from. And I struggle when I read some of these things that he talks about, you know, and I read Seneca, his anger book, and I'm like, you know, and they give these really extreme examples of these Stoics philosophers that did not get caught up in the emotion of anger. And I find it, I'm like, God, these stories have to be embellished. You know, it's thousands, thousands of years old. They have to be embellished because, I look at it and I think, God, I hear some of these stories. Oh, you get a tiger by the tail with me. And I'm like, so it's an interesting, that whole concept is interesting.
I'm laughing about that because I think, you know, in hundreds of years from now, they pull up the Oprah Trump podcast and what the heck is this? Who the heck? What?
Who the heck?
And you're talking about these stories, you know.
but it really is interesting because anger is really it's funny because with reading Seneca, he talks that anger is really the most powerful emotion because it is the one that overrules everything else. Whatever else is going on, anger is the one that will overrule everything. It trumps all other emotions. Mm. So of course I'd read that one because you go to the strongest and the most powerful. And really your ability to function is really having control over your emotions. And it's not just controlling your emotions. It's not about controlling them. It's about knowing they're there, feeling them, but it's almost keeping them a little at bay. And that as an individual is challenging, but when you got somebody poking you, that is, I think, worth talking about. We talk a lot about it with Neville Goddard.
Yeah. The part that gets me the most is that you are the one and not you. But we are all the ones that make ourselves feel something. And so if you're really upset, you made yourself feel really upset. And why did you do that? And when you take the responsibility of that, and oftentimes it's a very deep introspection. When you take the responsibility of getting through some kind of process to mine the wisdom of where that took you and why, maybe it's something you needed to do. Maybe it's something you needed to have occur. And there have been instances where, you know, I've been upset or angry. And sometimes you can't catch yourself out of it. You can't hook yourself out. You just go full force. You're on the roller coaster ride. Yeah. And you can't jump off. Yeah. You lost it. And you just got to say, okay, I lost it. Yet hold on a second here. I don't have to keep it going for days and days and days.
I always say I'm allowed to have my reaction. I'm allowed to have a reaction. After that, it's on me to say, to pull myself out of it, to have the clarity to say exactly what we're talking about. I was like, okay, there's something in this. Or you let it go or whatever it is. I'm not defining it. And that's a whole other conversation about how to deal with emotions.
Well,
I think what's more important is understanding, having the understanding that that's where you get led.
Right.
That's
well,
the leash. Once I get the leash on you, I can lead you anywhere.
Well, you know, of course, I come up with this great visual as you're talking because I think, you know, it's going to the amusement park. I mean, it's the great thing I tell you about that example. I had some friends and you go to the amusement park and you take a map and decide where you want to go and what ride you want to go on. And you have, you know, the individuals who say, I'll just go wherever you want to go. And then they can make it good or bad or whatever for whatever you want. I don't want to do that. Or I don't want to. Or you take the map and you decide where to go, or you're kind of guided by, oh, I'll go there. Yet, you know, like you said, if you're getting pulled on one of the rides, you know, and you throw up afterwards, well, guess what? That's you. You know, that's your experience. And are you going to, like, you know, harass yourself about it? And so going into the emotion of it, I mean, you know, when you said, you know, I'm allowed to have a reaction. Well, of course, you know, action, reaction. You're going to have a reaction to something. Okay. Yet where you go with it is, you know, and if you're using it to beat up on yourself, that doesn't do you any good at all.
Well,
and most often that's where a lot of us lie is we beat up on ourselves and whatever we're feeling or embracing. And I've said to you in the past, it's funny. And this is just a blatant, horrible generality, but I'll say it because a lot of times, you know, being a woman, it just cycles and cycles and cycles and festers and festers and festers. If you don't, you know, clear it, it festers and festers. And I see guys, you know, I see guys and it's like, you know, they could be having a brawl one moment and then the next minute they're having a drink. It's like, well, wait a minute. You know, he just called you just. And there's something worthy there to explore. Whereas, you know, how do you let it go faster? How do you not take it into this cycle that, you know, where you beat up on yourself? And so that's another thing going into emotions. And, you know, like I said, we talked about that in our ancient text podcasts and utilizing your emotions in a different way and what they're really for through Neville Goddard and you know, even Napoleon Hill and Norman Vincent Peale and, you know, all these names I could drop.
Well, as a woman, we are more emotional than men. That's a given. That's a given. We know that. And so I don't want to not be fully who I am. And there is, it's such a powerful, we know emotion is very powerful. We know emotion is powerful. I mean, that's the, you know, they say a woman sees her child under a car, she somehow has the ability to lift the car, the power, that anger, that I understand that. Not that I've, God forbid, I've never done that, but I know my emotions. Using my emotions, I can do so much. And keep them in check, it's almost like an energy, right? If I think of emotions, it's an energy. Why am I going to use my energy on these like pity little nothings that, you know, make me, I'm for this, or no, now I'm not for it. Now I'm with this one. Now I'm not with this one. It's like I said, it's like putting a leash and you just keep getting jerked one way and the other, and it's exhausting and you're using your emotions kind of against yourself and you end up being a exhausted blob at the end. Like, oh my God, and what did you do? I just had my emotions jerked back and forth. And that's happened to me so many times. But there is something to the emotion. There is something so powerful. And I'm not saying this podcast is going to summarize it, because there's a depth of it that we haven't even touched upon, and we've done so much with all Neville Goddard and all the ancient texts. We've gone so deep into emotion. There's something we haven't touched there.
And we've explored in our ancient text podcasts of utilizing the emotion in the raw element of creativity and birth.
Yet there is something in reading what I've been reading about creativity. It's by Rollo May, saying he went into the creative space with all these amazing artists, and you have to put limitations. It makes perfect sense. If you don't put a limitation, you never create.
Right.
I had this conversation again. I had a conversation with my son, and he puts it in his own words. Right. And I'm like, what are you reading? You know, you're like saying out loud. And it's the example of, if you don't have a bank, you don't have the bank created. You don't have a river. The river exists because there's a bank on both sides, or mountain, or whatever it is, the landmass that keeps the river intact. Because if the landmass evaporated, there was no landmass, well, the river, the water would just go everywhere. There wouldn't be a river.
That's it. Yeah.
And so if you, in the creative mode, you need to create a limitation. That's where I'm going. Is that side of it we have not explored.
Well, that's a beautiful analogy using nature. It's funny, I'm not surprised, but I'm just going to pull your leg a little bit, because, you know, we're sitting here at the kitchen table and I'm thinking, she's going in the kitchen. She goes, nope, you didn't go in the kitchen, because that's the first place I go. You go in the kitchen, you got herbs, you got stuff in the fridge, you got stuff in the freezer, you have stuff in the pantry. Well, you could just stand there and look around. At some point, you have to decide what you're going to make and what you're going to put together. And what are the ingredients?
Great analogy.
And then you decide, am I going to bake something? Am I going to cook something? Yes. Am I going to open up a can? What am I going to do? Am I going to use fresh ingredients? And then once you start going into each little aspect, and it's funny because that's kind of the way I write. You know, I'll pile everything together, you know, I'll walk into the kitchen, literally. And, you know, it's like you start just pulling. And then sometimes you're cooking and you say, it's almost like, you know, you hear the words of your grandmother or something. Mm-hmm. You need to add a little more oregano, or you got to put some clove in there. Oops. Oh, that was the ingredient. And so you're open to that. You're open to that creative space. And yes, there's an emotion that goes in there too. I mean, when you're putting that all together, not just, you know, how great it tastes afterwards.
Well, that's what Neville Goddard makes a big point of, is the emotional, is the emotion is sometimes that, you know, that creative force is behind it,
right,
is emotion. And it's not being, well, I'm this, I'm not, that's not the emotion he's referring to.
Right.
And then the other piece of it is, by, like you said, if you go in the kitchen, you can just look around forever.
Right.
Until you limit yourself to saying, okay, that was a great example. And there's something to that, that we're supposed to use our emotions, but they've been hijacked. It's like when we talked about the ego when we were writing the book, and you're like, what are you talking? Because what I, you know, when I was saying it, I was like, wow, this goes against what everyone is out there saying.
Of course. Yeah.
But it makes perfect sense to me. And you would not, you would embrace the ego. You would push the ego, not withhold it or deny it. Mm. Why would you do that? Mm. That makes no sense.
Because if you, and of course, if you understood that, and not that you asked me to answer, yet, you know, if there's a vibration to that, because if you understand that, I mean, there's a freer vibration to it. So it's like, oh, I don't have to hold that back anything. I don't have to, I can be myself. I can do this. And, you know,
and your ego is your friend, as long as it doesn't run amok. And it runs amok when it's denied, when it's pushed aside, then it's like, hello. It's like the, you know, whack-a-mole, when it keeps jumping up at you, you're like, whack it, jump up. No, it's like, wait a minute, come on over here. Come on and sit down. And after a while it talks and you're like, whoa.
And you know, to take the analogy of the kitchen even stronger, I mean, if you look at, not that I want to, but you look at what's happening today. I mean, if you go in your kitchen and you look around and you decide what you want to make, and then, you know, not a stranger, but, you know, if a stranger comes in and says, well, I'd rather have, you know, Mexican food. And you're like, well, I was making this. And then you're, you know, I mean, what are you letting into your kitchen? What are you letting into? If a family member comes in and says, oh, you know, are you doing this? Or you do, oh, that smells delicious, or whatever. You have a different vibration to that.
Right.
And so when you're letting kind of a stranger, and even if the stranger tries to say, well, you know, I'm just a neighbor down the road and I got this great spice you can put in. It's like, well, no, I wasn't interested in that.
Right. Doesn't mean that you don't like Mexican food or you don't like your neighbor.
Right.
It's just, this is where I am and what I'm doing. And it's really about you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is something very potent with emotion, which we know we've talked about through our discussions about not just Neville Goddard. Like you said, I just, you know, James Allen came into my mind. He always pops in on me. It's like, I always hear James Allen. But it taught in, because he wrote As a Man Thinketh, and it's where you, what you think about and what your focus is. And if every time your focus is looking outside the window, well, I mean, at what point, who are you? Mm. Who are you?
And that's huge. And, you know, that's a huge place. And we'll be right back. Hi, this is Julie here with Susan. And I have to ask you, what's one of the favorite books that we've written together? Which one would you say?
My favorite would be Energetic Invocations, because you tricked me into writing it. And it wrote itself. And I just was grateful to be a part of it. I like all the books we've written. We've had so much fun, but that's probably my favorite.
You know, I agree with you. I love Energetic Invocations, and I love the invocations because they're really powerful. And I love the way it slides into the Endra book. So the Endra scripts is really fun as well. So I agree with you.
Yep. Awesome. So Julie, we wrote 10 plays of the Endra scripts.
Yes.
Do they seem believable to you?
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? They're a hoot. I relive them most of the time.
But they're not traditional magic scripts.
No, they're not. It's real magic based in energy. It's cool stuff.
And everybody can do it.
That's right. Everybody can. You know, from what we were just saying, we talked about alerts before. And so if you take the vibration of what you were just saying, and a lot of times you can say it's just over the top outside.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's over the top, isn't that funny? It's almost like when it's over the top, I mean, you're, for lack of a better way to say it, you're doing something right. You know, you're in this element. I mean, when does somebody, you know, come running to you and say, oh, you better do this, you can't do that, you get it. Like, all of a sudden, you're like, well, where's all this attention coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, it's when it's so over the top out there, and you are so in your element. Of course, somebody has something to say.
Right.
Of course, out there is going to have something to say. And when you're working from the element of within, and you keep expanding, and you keep going into more and more of who you are and sharing that, of course, out there is going to have something to say. You kind of said the whack-a-mole thing, of course. Mm-hmm. But it's not like you need to, you know, you have to sit there and expect, oh, here it comes. No.
And nor do you have to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of laugh at it. And that takes a, you know, it's everything in life, in my mind, is it's all mind control. And I don't mean it the way it's being stated out there. It's really being in control of who you are and how you choose to live your life. And being, it's not about me controlling what anyone else does or what they think or how they think. It's about me having the confidence in myself to keep moving forward. And, you know, because I'm constantly learning, constantly experiencing something new and being okay with it and not getting caught up in what anyone else is telling me. And that, you know, again, if you think about your thoughts, what you're going to allow to come in. And, you know, when my kids were young, well, not too young, they were like getting ready for college. So like high school, I used to, you know, use the word and we used it, spell. Who's going to put a spell on you?
Yeah.
And what does it take to put a spell on someone? And how does someone undo someone else's spell? Mm. Oh, that's what we joked. You're the level 4. I'm level 6. No, it's you believing in what you know and saying, nice try. You know, I've given examples. You could go back and listen to the old things we've said. But it really comes down to, you know, are you going to control what you think and how you see things? Or are you going to allow someone else to do it? And there are times that we fall when, you know, I myself, I like, oh, I got caught in that. And that's why I say I have a reaction. And I try to minimize the amount of time that it affects me. And I could sit here and tell you things that have happened to me where I'm like, oh, and you'd be like, ah, rah, rah, rah. And it's really that, how long can I, you know, am I going to hold on to this? Mm. And sometimes letting go makes you feel like I'm letting it go, so it's not important. And you know, it's like death when someone dies, and it's like you want to keep crying and grieving because you don't want to forget them. And I'm making generalizations here, but a lot of people, you cry because you don't want to forget them. And you do, you know, you have certain things that you honor. Oh, I have this and that. When the truth of the matter is that if you love them, they're a part of you. You never forget them. You don't have to have something special to honor them by, you know, I'm just using one of my brothers was just, he was the most open-minded guy. He didn't care who you were. You were CEO or homeless, he treated you the same. And you know, and I don't talk about it much or about him, and it's not, I'm not, but I always think that's who he was, and I always admire that. And I'm like, so I try to, no matter who anyone is, I try to just take them at face value. And so that, but that becomes a part of me, so I don't have to sit and talk about, I don't have to cry, I don't have to do any of those things. And I think if we recognize that it's who we become that honors who we are, but that goes against what society tells you. And sometimes that's not the easiest thing to do, but I guess that's why the podcast, we're doing it, is to say it's okay. Not that you need permission, but if you need permission, I'm giving you permission. It's okay.
What a beautiful gift that is that your brother gave you.
Well, it's, you, I mean, know, because here, I can talk about any.
Well, here you had the vibration of someone close to you who just, I mean, who would have thought there could be someone that just experienced everybody, as we say.
Right.
You know, we are all the same. We're all unique. We're all together. We're all one. There's you know, different aspects that, you know, we can heighten or whatever we can focus on of each other that gives us different talents and different aspects. And yet still, you know, it's not a duality decision. And what a beautiful, you know, gift he kind of gave me to say. And well, you know, we say that to each other all the time. Who would have think, you know, who would think there could be someone like that? There is.
But the point I think, which is great, that was my choice, that I thought that was, I liked that about him. That's and so where I'm going with it is whatever it is that you enjoy about whomever, even if it's someone who's alive, you embrace it and you make it a part of your being. And that to me is authentic. That to me is an authenticity that nobody can touch. And so when we talk about emotion and we talk about the ego, we talk about all these things, I mean, I don't think anyone talks like that. I don't think the stuff that we say, I hear that from other people. Like, I've never heard anyone say that. And I'm like, but it resonates. It resonates. Therefore, you know that. I just constantly open up different parts of myself. And it doesn't mean I get it right all the time. Or even if I get it right 50%, but there's something in it. And I think that, you know, that more that people do that, you there's a part of you that you can't deny then. And so then you can go into the emotion. And if someone, I still get, as you know, I get triggered. Even the other day, yesterday, I'm like, oh. And I'm like, okay, gotta let it go. And I'm like, why am I being triggered? Maybe it was because of today's podcast.
Well, if we take it all the way back to what I said with the tarot cards, I mean, how would you entertain yourself with that? It's actually pretty funny when I said to you, you know, there's the horse kind of saying to you, I gotta deal with this babushka over here, you know, and you're like focusing more on the horse, and then the person is kind of saying, you know, and it's like really the horse that you're focusing. You raise the volume on the horse, and it's a funny little transmission there. Who cares what the person says, you know?
Well, that it's a great example of what happens to all of us all
right.
the time.
And you know, what's funny too, is that, you know, I was thinking, you know, with what's going on and everything, not a lot of people, not, you know, or who, what do I know? Maybe they are, you know, going away in the summer and stuff, but not a lot of people. There are a majority of people not going places, but we still carry all our luggage right. and baggage around with us. And so the more you clear and the more you're just open to what you're going to experience and what really is happening in the present moment, I mean, doesn't that take you more into yourself and who you are? Hey, it's Julie here, and we have to do this interruption really quick because we only have a couple of seconds because we're interrupting some good content, wouldn't you say?
I'd say.
And what are we interrupting for? That was too long of a gasp. We're interrupting to say we have ebooks, books, and podcasts galore. All right, I gotta share. Full disclosure here. You folks are missing the best part, because when I shut the recorder, Susan goes into the color commentary. You know, this is amazing. She's not just in the energy, but then she comes out and she's coaching it. How was that? That was good. Let's go for more.
I tend to be a quiet, introverted person.
And you know what? Oh, you always know you're getting our full selves in these podcasts and these books. So what are you waiting for? Spotify? Amazon? Don't be listening to me. Go!
Choo-choo!
Psst, Susan.
What?
This Kabbalion podcast is great, but it's kind of sort of like we're in a class.
I know.
So how can you learn more if you're in a class and you're kind of listening along?
Well, the only way that you know what you're getting is to be tested. Or sometimes the way a question is asked, you might be surprised at what you think the answer is, but then, actually.
Ah, so it has to be a fun test energy.
It has to be a test that makes you think. It's not a rote A equals B equals C, and that's it, you memorize it.
So, any suggestions?
Yeah, actually, I found a book. It's a quiz on the Kabbalion. It's like trivia, but better.
Ooh.
And it's an ebook.
Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon, and you could get it for like practically nothing.
I'm going to get it now.
I love it.
So, it's funny, when you talk, I hear you, and I kind of get like, I almost, there's a part of me that's like, I can't think, but I'm hearing things and I'm hearing you and I'm not, and it's like I can't express it. And so then all of a sudden I get a little bit of clarity and I'm like, okay, when we did energetic invocations, we worked really hard at clearing all the garbage out there and look at everything differently. And then we went into Endra and we started like, what can we have? How do we have fun with this? And now we're at a point, we've done so much work, and then we've read so many of these different books that we talk about, that it really comes down exclusively to emotion. Living here in the physical, you're already embedded in duality. There's no escape. There's no escape. And so you go into, well, let's go into both. That's the only way you can sort of, what is it? We said to neutralize, right? You go into both because then you can somehow neutralize it. But then when I look at this and it's like the whole mind control, what pulls you in and out and where do you go? And of course, that's what you do with a horse too. With a dog, you take a dog for, I had one dog that would never, he was a basset hound. And I'm like, come on, come on. And he would, you know, and I'd have to almost like pick him up, like, come on. Because it was, you lead them, you lead, right? You lead a horse, you lead a dog, you can lead whatever else. We are led. We don't think about it, but people lead you and it's all through emotion. If you can overcome the whole emotional aspect of what is going on, really, the sky's the limit.
So I'd actually like to adjust the word lead. Because if you draw the two circles and there's that space in between, you're actually both walking side by side. I mean, the most, I don't have any pets, but, you know, the most, I tell you that wonderful story in Chicago where I took a friend's dog for a walk. Yeah. I didn't know where I was. Yeah. And I was like, Tippy. Tippy, how do we get? Yeah. And he heard me somehow, not even knowing who I was, and, you know, got us back to the house. And
so what's and that so in between space?
The point of the in-between space is even with the horse the other day, there was a person there with the horse and you, what space in between do you form? Are you forming it with the person? Are you forming it with the horse? Are you forming it with the energy? What are you forming it with? And so when you said lead, I like to say, I mean, when we do these podcasts, I'm not leading and you're not leading.
No.
I mean, we're in the space at the same time sharing, and we're sharing with each other, and then we're sharing whatever occurs in that sharing with everyone who's listening. Right. And so in that element, you know, think about, because if someone is leading you into a space, well, that's kind of your first alert. Because if you're feeling a certain way, but if you can't get to that, you have to get to that clarity that you're making yourself feel a certain way.
Right.
Why is that? And is that really the truth of what you feel? And granted, I said it before in the past, somebody makes you really angry. It's hard to, there's certain emotions. It's hard to pull yourself out of. You got to just let it go through its full cycle and then you're out. And you kind of go, okay, wait a minute. What am I feeling here? And why is this? And it's very introspective and can be analytical, or you just do something else and you find the answer sometimes.
Well, the answer, a lot of things, I'm just from reading Seneca and from my own is, you once you have the space to get the truth of it, and it's like you said, is this I had to go through this because I was supposed to learn something, or it's supposed to force me to go in a different direction or whatever it is. That is that moment of like, what am I going to do? I'm feeling angry. Am I going to go into what's the truth of this, or am I going to go for the, you know, go after them? And that space it can be a nanosecond, but it's our choice,
right,
where we go with that,
right?
And we forget that,
right? And there have been moments where we've talked about where we've been angry about something but not related to each other, and we've used that anger to actually propel ourselves to something for our self-care, rather than propel ourselves more into analysis paralysis of what, who should have done what and when and who said what and how it changed and how they're always like that, blah, blah, blah. And you just fell in the hole of duality.
Right.
And instead, if it was to create something, okay, I can feel really badly about this. I can feel really angry about this, or I can propel into something that's self-care for myself.
And if you remember, you and I sat down with a big glass of wine and we created the blotch cards that made us laugh our butts off for things that would get you upset. Like we were like, you know, things like, oh, you just, you know, think your thoughts and in the back is nobody else's.
Right.
Like we just had so much fun, and that they came, we called it raw and inspiring, which they were. They weren't like,
they
we
are.
Had, but I have to say, we put in divorcee cards.
Yeah.
And,
well, it's a different way of looking at it instead of, okay, this is the, you know, societal representation. This is the road or path you go down or not. This is your choice. Well, no.
Right.
Let's look at it a different way. Let's be funny about it.
Right.
I think one of them was, you know, congratulations or something. It's about time or something. Well, that took a lot, or whatever it was. But we have.
Yeah, they were funny. I can't right off the top of my head. But I mean, that's one way of doing it. My son talks about, you know, any emotion, he goes right down, he writes. Mm. You know, he makes write songs. Mm. They go into like, use it for that.
Mm.
And use it to propel. And that was, again, some of the stuff that Seneca said. You use it as a propelling point. And that is a more, not just healthy way. This isn't about, it's such a much more satisfying way.
Mm.
When you do something, you create something out of whatever it is, grief, anger, whatever it is, you create something out of it. It's not about how do you feel better, but if you understand that is going to occur, it's going to occur. If you're angry, something is going to be created from that. I just recognize that you're going to create something. Something gets created. It could be a war. Mm. It could be a fight. Or it can be, we're changing this. Mm. This is what's going to happen going forward. This no longer holds a grip. We're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And you can't do both because you just neutralize that power. So the question becomes, what are you going to create? Because there will be something created. Mm. And I think that's what people don't recognize, that I just, as I thought about it, it gets created.
Right.
So what are you going to create?
Right. And I would like to just take that and blend it a little further into, if you're saying that for anger, guess what? The same thing goes for fear.
Thank you for listening to this production from EI Alliance. Check out our Amazon authors pages and link in bio for books and more podcasts. Find New Threads music on Spotify and newthreads.us.